Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 8, Kickbait Number 1, Issue 1. This will restore your faith in media. Instead of the usual title splash, the cover to this issue reads Kickbait Number 1 and shows the young superhero hurtling through the air with his arms wildly flailing as he shouts, "I'll catch you with one trick supervillains don't want you to know." Rushing to catch up with him are Puck and Arcana, who are being chased by a news truck. The comic starts with a big view of like an apartment building that looks kind of like run down. And then it zooms in and it's in the basement of the apartment building. And there's like signs that say that it's condemned and stuff like that. And then it goes down another level to the sub-basement in which there is, all this futuristic tech and like bright silver walls and metal things and everything with a lot of striped eagle imagery and red, white, and blue all over the place. And it is filled with Falcon agents. Striped Eagle in her costume, but with the helmet off, is standing to the side as people are just basically taking things from inside of her private base and just transporting it out, like just taking it from her. So this is the follow-up to Kissable Capes, where Falcon said they were taking her stuff. And so we get a couple of shots just of that, of a bunch of tech being moved away, of a bunch of resources being taken away, a computer being unplugged. We get a view of her containment cells, and a couple of the Falcon agents are walking into one of them, and the window is just full of smoke. And we'll remember from Holidays that Striped Eagle took the Burning Man off of your hands and put him into containment. So that's presumably what this is, because where there's smoke, there's the Burning Man.
Yeah.
And we see them opening the door up and smoke filling the hallway. And one of them covers his eyes and goes, "What the hell is this?" The next panel shows the outside of a museum that has just like huge banners coming down, talking about its different displays and stuff like that. It's very bright colors. You can see some bright trees around, and they're... is a kind of small hero standing off against two adult villains. The hero that is standing off against them, he's a Filipino guy. He is just in jeans and a hoodie with a domino mask that matches the kind of grayish color of the hoodie. And he's wearing shoes that have a little bit of a heel on them, kind of like clunky boot heel sort of things. And like you can see there's been some damage around. There are some people that are like screaming and running away, and it's very much center of Protean City feel. The two adults that he's standing off against are people that would be recognizable to some older readers. This is kind of a couple of Silver Age villains that have come back, and they look largely the same. They've got little streaks of silver at the side of the hair just to show, like, you know, they've been at this for a little while. It's Mr. Derecho and Mrs. Izquierda, who are a team of Spanish flamenco-themed villains. They both have dark hair and domino masks with sort of like very much flamenco costumes. So he's got like tight black pants, a short black jacket, and a red domino mask. And his hair is, his black hair is like slicked back. On his right hand, there's like a bunch of like big red ruffles. And Mrs. Izquierda is in an extravagant black dress with layers of red ruffles that match his ruffles that are going down the skirt. And it's kind of the long, heavy flamenco skirt. And her left hand has a ruffled glove. And she's also got the domino mask, her hair's up in a bun. They both look like really impeccably put together with just like a little bit of dust on on like, you know, their sleeves and shoulders, because there's clearly been explosions coming in from inside the museum. And he is carrying he has next to him a bag that is clearly full of stolen loot from inside. Now, Alina and Puck, needless to say, are nearby, because this story is not about is not about that other hero.
Yeah.
Yeah, how weird would it be if I just monologued for an hour about that hero? And then he rolls to directly engage a threat. So what are the two of you doing kind of in sort of a central, sort of commercial area of Protean City?
Why would the two of us be hanging out?
Well, 'cause
you like her.
That's true.
Because I asked you to hang out. Why did I ask you to hang out? Let's think for a second. I'm trying to convince you to come back and do some more mind melding on Mindshot, who I still have captive.
Great. So where are you? Are you in like a coffee shop? Are you in a park? What's going on?
Coffee shop,
I think. Coffee shop works, yeah.
Cool. So yeah, so at the top of that panel, it says like 5 minutes earlier. And it shows the two of you sitting down in the coffee shop. There's like some milling movement around. In Alina's bag, we can see that one of the pockets is looking a little bit more full than normal. And it has the tops of some tarot cards sticking out of it.
Hey, good to see you. I haven't seen you around school.
Yeah, just been working on stuff, trying to, you know, sort out the doom thing. Something that Dr. Amari said when we spoke to her kind of set me off, and I just every once in a while, and I just dove into some books and had to rethink a lot of the stuff I'd been working on, some of the calculations.
There's a little editor's note that says, genius time scientist, see volume 6, Blinded by Science.
But not making a whole ton of progress there. So I guess I'll be back in school on Monday.
Well, you still need an education. Have you thought about asking Ben or Kalino?
Yeah, I mean, Kalino checks all my math. You know, I've been trying to like figure out the like energy level thing for a while. And then I feel like we've made some progress, but it's slow going.
Well, listen, I hate to take you away from that, but I need your help, I think. Mindshot remembered who she was and who I was again.
We get a little flashback panel of you like walking by her cell and her just like screaming at you like with her finger up in the finger gun position.
Yeah, it's unpleasant.
Yeah, that was bound to happen. I didn't think that was gonna stick.
We get another panel that shows Alina and her like actively wrestling, and like Alina has like her knees around Mindshot's neck and is like having to like knock her out.
Luckily, we've disabled her powers with some cuffs, but I need to know who's behind the attack on the college. I need to know what they're planning. Do you think you could maybe head back with me to my base?
Yeah. I guess we could do that. How do you have a secret base anyway? Like, who is that guy?
And at that point, there's just an explosion out the window of the coffee shop, and we get the same. Basically, we see the back of the hero standing off against the other two, out the window with like smoke billowing up from the museum.
I'm going to start evacuating the civilians.
Okay, great. So we have like the panel that shows the coffee shop kind of everyone reacting. This is it's very close to the museum, because my favorite thing is to make locations close to each other so that people can tell me everything's too close together. Mm-hmm. But the civilians are all like kind of panicking, but there's a couple people that have their heads and they're following your instructions as you're clearly aware of what's going on, even though, you know, and you're a kid. But you speak with authority because you're trained by the asset. You know how to do that.
And these people are like, I can see the scene that you described earlier.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it's one person facing off against two people.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so like they're, you know, like you can run to them in no time because you're very fast.
Yeah.
But it's like just crossing a square to get to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So John will turn to Alina and say, you going to get these people safe?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
I mean, can I go help whoever that is?
Why are you asking me? Go.
I just want to make sure everything's good. I'm trying to be a team player. You guys always yell at me that I'm not participating as a team member. And so this is me checking in with the team to make sure everything's fine.
Okay.
Before running off into battle.
You may have just activated your drama move of admitting a weakness. I think that may have just happened.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
So let's go ahead and resolve that quickly before we
All right. When start I resolve fighting. when I resolve a vulnerability or weakness with someone, which in this case is my penchant for running off into battle by myself.
Yeah.
Give them influence over you and ask them if they honestly think there's hope for you.
Okay. That's less a thing that's happening in character and more something you're kind of seeing in her face. Like if you're seeing regret or seeing sadness at the knowledge that this bubbly, happy soul can be lost.
Alina, you already have influence over me, so you have to shift my labels.
Your labels are pretty crazy right now. Aren't they like plus threes and minus twos almost across the board?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
All right, I'm going to shift your mundane up and your danger down.
Okay.
Sounds good. And so, do you think that there's really hope for him?
I don't think Alina really thinks too much about hope. But in hope's place, she sees potential and opportunity. So I guess if you call that hope, she sees hope for him.
Okay, cool. So what does that mean?
If they say yes, mark potential or clear one box of your doom track.
Nice.
I think as much as I want potential, I may have to clear one of my doom boxes.
Okay.
Just to
survive.
Just to survive.
Yeah. So we get a panel that shows Puck being Puck and having that sort of drive that he has and that sort of awkward weirdness, wonderfulness that he has, and Alina looking like she's maybe accepting it and like going, not seeing that moment of sadness that people tend to show when Puck turns away. And then Puck, what do you do?
So this is great. So John, after like receiving an approval from his teammate to go join this fight, he runs to the door, pulls it open, and we get one panel where John has closed the door. He stepped outside the building and he just sort of like stops and leans against the wall, like the brick wall of the building, just on the outside of the glass door where she can't see him. And he just smiles to himself a little bit because like Alina approved of him and thinks that maybe like he's getting better. And then he just kind of puts his game face on and sprints toward across this little square.
Puts his game face on and then he puts his game mask on?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you were actually masking.
Yeah. If he's running into combat, he's putting on his mask. So okay. He pulls up his hood and as he like, because I think we've just sort of described this a whole bunch of different ways, but like the way that John gets into costume is pretty much that he just like pulls his hood up, because he's pretty much always wearing a hoodie of some sort. And when he pulls the hood up, like the mask just sort of appears on his face in front of it. And then the antlers kind of just grow up weirdly out of the hood.
And he's got that like black smoky magic stuff. Do we get like a little bit of that like coming out of the hood when it comes up?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. And then pouring out of the holes when the antlers like poke through.
Nice.
Because the antler, at least in this time, the antlers are going to kind of grow up. Sometimes he puts the mask on and then the hood builds out of that. It's like, it's really weird.
It's real like, inconsistent.
It's real inconsistent.
Editorial is going to come down on us one of these days and it's going to be a real problem. We're going to have to get real consistent. Is this one of the comics that Puck has really huge horns or one of the, like, how big are his horns for this comic?
Well, they're always lopsided. One of them is always big and one of them is always a smaller one. Yeah, they're probably bigger this time around.
Okay.
The definitively the one that's shorter this time is broken.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Nice. It's just like smaller, but for whatever reason, the artist drew it as broken this time.
Yeah. Maybe because Puck is a little broken.
Maybe.
This time.
Yeah.
So we get the panel then. We get those panels, and we're going to now zoom over to where the hero is facing off against the two of them. He kind of like gets into a fighting stance, and he goes, I'm going to give you three reasons that you're going to have a hard time getting past this, and the second one's going to really shock you. I'm Kickbait. And he like takes like three running steps forward and hurls himself forward in like a big jumping kick. And Mr. Derecho just grabs his foot and hurls him. And he goes like flying through the air, and it looks like he's going to slam into some people. But at the last moment, they see like a dollar on the ground and reach down, and he goes tumbling over their heads and lands in like a perfect 3-point stance. And then we're going to go, let's go to Alina next. So are you like, are you caping up, or are you...
I'm going to wait.
A civilian managing things.
I'm going to wait to cape until most of the civilians are out of the area. I see okay. The cops coming, so I'm probably heading towards the action soon.
Okay, great. Yeah, so people are more or less... actually, you know what? Why don't we go ahead and have you roll for that?
Okay.
I think this might be a provoke roll.
Okay.
And you're kind of provoking the civilians in this area.
Okay. Okay, well, that's a 4.
That's a 4, okay. There are enough people there that there's more than one person who knows how to handle a crisis. And there's an older man who, like, looks at you and goes, listen, I know you're trying to help, but you're just getting in the way. We need to go through the back door. That's going to be the safest way. And, like, they cannot go around the building that way. And he is trying to raise your mundane and lower your savior.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and say he's the owner of this coffee shop.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have to come back, we'll come back to him at some point. This is a nice coffee. This is a coffee shop that Alina frequents, let's say.
Okay.
Are you accepting that influence, or are you going to reject
it? No.
No, you're a savior. You're not you're not just some dumb kid.
Fucking kidding me.
Also a 4.
That is also a 4. Okay, right. So on a 6-, the words hit you hard. You mark a condition, and then the GM changes your labels.
I've got so many conditions marked still.
You have a lot of conditions marked. Do you have Afraid marked right now?
Yes.
Alina?
Yes.
I think you can unmark Afraid
mm-hmm.
because I think that you ran from something difficult when you didn't take on the psychic mentorship of Adler.
Mm-hmm.
When he was like, I can awaken your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, no. I got a life going. I can't do that.
All right. So I'm going to mark guilty.
Okay.
Mostly because I didn't correct him.
Okay. Yeah. So you feel like...
I feel like I am
a hero.
Yeah. I let myself down. I let everybody who has helped me get this far down. I let my team down. And I'm just not... I feel... guilty for not having a response.
Yeah, great. So we get like just the panel of you standing there kind of like mouth open. What do I do in this situation? This is going to lower your savior and raise your danger.
Okay.
You know that there is more to you, and you know that you are dangerous and can be scary, and you have all of this pent up power, but right now you don't feel like a superhero. Because he just took that away from you. Or you let that be taken away from you because you didn't fight him back hard enough then.
Right.
Okay.
Feels like that. That's my perspective.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, so next panel. We've got Alina looking sheepish and not great. And then we've got Puck. What are you doing?
So Puck is running over to where... He was running straight into the battle. But mm-hmm. when we saw... I don't know if... Would I have been close enough to catch this kid's name?
Yeah, because it's comic books.
Okay. So as soon as he sees that Kickbait was thrown away, he kind of like veers off towards where Kickbait was landed.
Yeah.
And so when we pick up with Puck and Kickbait, Puck is standing, looking at Kickbait, who has just landed, and is like standing up, brushing himself off with his back to the two villains.
Okay.
Because Puck.
Because Puck, yeah.
And so he reaches out. a hand to help help the guy stand up, but he's probably a little bit too late for that. So he kind of just looks at his hand and like puts it back in his pocket and is like,
actually, let's say that Kickbait gets himself up and gives you an awkward handshake.
Okay, that's good. I like that better. How you doing? You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've got like a little bit of the, you know, the sort of super vulnerability thing, and like, you know, so like that wasn't too bad. If I went through like a building or something, that'd be real rough. This is not the time, is it?
I mean, they don't seem like they're in too much of a hurry. He kind of just points backward without looking.
Yeah, and at that point, we definitely have Mr. Derecho, like, giving a laugh and going, like, this is what Protean City has to face, the two hands of evil.
And we cut back, and Puck is like, these Silver Age villains, they just like to monologue forever. I mean, we can take all the time we need, really.
And Mrs. Scared is kind of, like, leaning on him and just kind of giving him, like, adoring eyes, and she goes, honey, shouldn't we be going?
He'll be like, I'm Puck. And Arcana, my team member, is here somewhere. She's taking care of the civilians, making sure everyone's safe. Do you need any assistance?
I'm Kickbait. And this three-player team is the only 90s kids. I lost that one. Yeah, let's go get them.
Okay. And then Puck will turn around.
Yeah, and we get the scene with the two of you, like, charging forward, probably. And Alina.
Okay.
Are you coming out? Are you dealing with more civilian stuff or letting...
I'm peeling away.
Yeah.
Slinking off.
Oh.
And I've got the domino mask, and I'm fastening it in the alley behind the coffee shop before I head towards where I hear all the crashing going on. So I just assume Puck's nearby.
All right, let's go ahead and roll to engage a threat as a team. I think we've maybe hit that point that we can get some team going. First question, who is the leader in this fight?
Puck would probably say that Arcana is the leader in this fight.
Okay.
She's not really in the fight yet.
Okay.
But like, she called him out here. He's trying to play on a team. They sort of, like, we don't really have a leader to our group. And so it's sort of just been like a whoever gathers who somewhere is like the de facto leader kind of a thing. And like, he's trying to like be a team player. He checked with her before running off. And this kid just got thrown by these heroes. So like, he doesn't know this guy.
Yeah. He looks like he's a little younger too.
Yeah.
And he's definitely following you. So if you're following Arcana, then he's, that makes sense. Okay. So if the leader has influence over every teammate, add another team. Which you do have teammate, you do have over Puck.
But not over Kickbait.
But I think in this case, I'm going to go ahead and give it to you. Okay. Because I think...
he's not part of our team.
He's not part of your team, really.
He's adjacent.
Okay. Yeah, he's really adjacent. Like, when you gather together with Striped Eagle and say, hey, we're going to go handle this thing together and fight this dinosaur, you're a team.
Mm-hmm.
This is a dude who's going to help, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do have influence. So you add another team. We're up to four. What is your purpose in the fight, Arcana?
To take down the bad guys.
Okay. And same thing, Puck?
Yeah.
Cool. So you're up to five. Do you mistrust the team or the leader, either of you?
No.
Cool. No.
No minus. And I don't think you're ill-prepared or off-balanced.
Not particularly. You
know, like...
Other than all the conditions I have marked.
Except for the multitude of marked conditions.
We're
on
in
this
that,
table.
Like, not particularly well-prepared.
Yeah.
But also, we could have just not joined this fight.
Yeah, exactly. You saw the fight starting.
Yeah, we chose to engage.
Yeah, it's not like suddenly Gasket Case was in the middle of the coffee shop. You've got, you know, you're superheroes. You're ready for this stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, so you have five team right now, which is good to have. So Arcana, where are you getting to get a good vantage point of what's going on?
So you're still on the museum steps, right?
Sure, that's where they were,
I think they're kind of at the top of the steps,
mm-hmm.
because of course they are. And the two of you are probably a little lower down the steps, mm-hmm. because Kickbait got thrown.
Okay, so I sort of ran past the museum, a block past, and I'm approaching it from the side now.
Yeah.
And I'm hiding behind one of the sculptures that is... on to the side, either side of the museum steps.
Nice.
And I'm going to...
What is it a sculpture of? Is it a person? Is it an animal?
Yes, it's a mermaid. She's reclining on a rock, and a laser beam is coming out of her outstretched palm. And that laser beam is used to project the museum's exhibits and special into the sky.
That is fantastic. I love that.
It's an ancient mythological figure that they think may have been a proto metahuman.
Cool. And so, yeah, so we now have Arcana, like, kind of, are you standing behind? Are you partially on the statue?
I'm peeking over her shoulder.
Perfect. And that sounds like you're assessing the situation.
Yes.
And you just got a new move related to that. So this should be fun.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's a 3.
Okay, so you do get to ask a question even on a miss, I believe.
Yes. Who here is most vulnerable to me?
Definitely of the two of them, Mr. Derecho is. Mrs. Scarda is a powerful wizard. And you know all about these folks. Actually, there's a possibility. If you'd like, you can have been reading the files. You don't have to. But you know about these folks. You know all about all of the history of these heroes. Heroes and villains, and we know that. Mr. Derecho is he can shoot lightning from his hand. Mrs. Scarda is a sorceress who can reform objects. And so she's actually going to, right this very moment, do that. And because you're looking over and you're... Oh, wait, what did you ask me? Oh, who's the most vulnerable?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the one who's most vulnerable is not the one who just looked over and noticed you. And so you're sitting there looking over the shoulder of the mermaid, and suddenly her stone head turns towards you, and we get her hand just like swinging over and just grabbing around your wrist. And so there is a stone statue hand just like held around your wrist, stopping you from getting out. And then we get a view of Mrs. Scarda looking up to her husband and saying, "Oh, we're surrounded on all sides. Now we should probably get going." Puck, you definitely saw this.
Okay. And they're just at the top of the stairs, right?
Yeah. Although now at this point, they've interlocked fingers on their... Oh, can they interlock without stopping their powers? If his left hand would be holding her right... Yes. His left hand holding her right hand. And he grabs the... A sack of ill-gotten gains, tosses it over his shoulder, and the two of them are starting to run. What do you do?
I want to... They're starting to run?
Yeah, they're like basically run, like, on one end of the staircase up to the museum is the mermaid statue. On the other end, there's another statue. We don't get a great shot of it in this picture, but they're heading that way. They're moving away from, like, they see you, they see Arcana, they see Kickbait, and they're like, nah, we're done here. This is handled. We've got our stuff.
And the statue is still grabbing Arcana.
The statue's hand is just kind of sealed around her wrist.
So I think what I'm going to try to do is Puck's going to... jump up to he was, as soon as she turned and saw Arcana and started doing stuff in that direction, Puck leapt up the whole, like, all the stairs all at once.
Okay.
But before it's a lot of stairs though.
Yeah.
So before he gets up there, they start to turn and run.
Yeah.
And so Puck is gonna just kind of like rub his hands together and generate one of his little, like, fairy dudes.
Okay.
And it's gonna curl up and he's just gonna huck it at them.
Nice.
Not to try to damage them, but to just try to, like, the with the aim of the little fairy is going to land on the bag of ill-gotten gains.
Yeah.
And try to climb inside.
Okay,
so
nice.
So that he can, like, maybe track them and find them later.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
All right. Okay. So that's...
So it's not the dice.
So that's 10, plus my freak of 3 is 13.
And you're not hopeless?
I'm not hopeless.
Great.
That's one of the... The very few conditions I do not have.
Great, yeah. So you throw the construct and it kind of like, it lands a little awkwardly and kind of like looks back at you with a little bit, like, it's got a little bit of attitude. For some reason, your construct has been showing more and more attitude as you've been coming closer and closer to your doom.
Yeah.
More and more like the Big John construct.
Mm-hmm.
And then it scrambles and scoots its way in, and we get like a shot of it inside of the thing, and it's kind of like moved down into a little chalice. It's all ridiculous, over the top, gold ornamented.
Yeah.
Kind of like Spanish royalty stuff.
Seeing that has worked, Puck is going to run over to Arcana and, I guess, just like break the stone. Part of that, like, because she molded it so that it was grabbing her.
Yeah.
And so I can't really remold the stone. So
Probably not.
So I guess I can just like punch it and try to crumble the stone around whatever it's her hand that's grabbing her.
Yeah. It's like wrapped around the wrist. And I don't think that that's a problem for Buck. Yeah. We just get the shot. Are you like putting it in your hand, punching it? What are you doing?
Probably just a quick jab.
Nice.
Just forceful enough to crumble it.
Yeah.
Careful. My watch is in there.
Sorry.
And then we get a panel that shows Kickbait, who, needless to say, is headed right after the villains. And we see Mrs. Scierda look over her shoulder and make a gesture with her hand, and a car that's parked on the side of the street just goes hurling towards him. The door of the car opens, and she like grabs a car with her magical energies and hurls it towards him. And as it's flying through the air towards him, the door suddenly opens up and he just sort of dives into the car, and the outside door then opens up as well. And he rolls onto the ground and just turns back towards the two of you and gives you both an enormous double thumbs up and is like, "Did you see that? That was amazing."
And Puck is going to turn to Arcana and just be like, "This kid's real lucky."
There have been studies done on certain subtypes of metahumans, and luck has been classified as a type 78 subset A power of just really, really lucky.
And Puck is just going to like punch you playfully in the shoulder and be like, "Nerd."
Oh my God,
and he's gonna turn back to the hero, or to where Kickbait is, in the direction that they ran off, and be like, "Should we chase them?"
Yeah, let's chase them. We can get them. Okay, are you good runners? I'm a good runner.
Okay, you can take lead, Speedy.
And he kind of like pauses for a minute and goes, "All right, channel my energies. Focus my mind." And he goes down into a runner's stance and goes, "This video is going to blow your mind." And he goes, and starts like running quickly along. And he's pretty fast. Right. I don't know. I think he's probably about Puck speed, maybe a little bit slower. But like, you know, he's making good speed. He has a little bit of super speed, definitely. Actually, how much super speed does Puck have?
Yeah, it's described as superhuman speed.
Okay, that's probably about where Kickbait is kicking it. Also,
yeah, I have always put that as faster than any human, but slower than someone who has speed powers.
Yeah, he's not a speedster, definitely. Yeah, so he starts running off, and like his clunky boots are making like little onomatopoeia sounds down at the bottom.
He's probably a little slower than Puck just because he's wearing stupid clunky boots.
How dare you insult Kickbait's amazing clunky boots? We have like a next panel that shows him running after them, and we see Derecho throw the bag into a very stylish black car with like all red interior, and he opens the door for Mrs. Scierda, and she slides on in, and he just like sort of Duke Boys style slides across the front of it before opening the door and getting inside. So what are the two of you doing? Because now at this point, we have the panel that shows the wheels spinning really, really fast, despite the fact that no one would ever do that. And it's about to start screeching away down the street.
Yeah.
I think you can probably run as fast as you can probably run fast enough to keep up with a car.
Mm-hmm.
Down crowded city streets.
Okay, that's right. I was thinking.
I don't know if Arcana is.
No, I'm just a regular human with some freak sides.
Just a normal human with dream bending psychic powers and telekinesis, and I can tell the future.
I could throw you at the car.
You could. You could fastball special.
So Puck is going to turn to Arcana as they're sort of like, he's just jogging, staying and keeping pace with Arcana.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to leave her behind. And be like, hey, do you trust me?
God help me. Yes.
And he is going to, how would he pick her up to throw her? So he, I guess the way this is going to work is that Puck is going to, clasp arms with Arcana.
Okay.
And he is going to, kind of like a shot put throw or like a hammer throw. He's going to like just take another, like we're, because they're jogging along and they clasp arms, and he's going to like take another big leap forward, plant his foot, spin around, lift her up into the air, and then like try to grab her feet as he's with his free hand as she's lifting into the air and throw her towards the car.
Amazing.
And hope to God that like he's seen her do some athletic things and he knows that she has some telekinesis powers, so hopefully she can soften the blow.
Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers, Puck.
Okay.
I think that's maybe appropriate. Part of me just wants to do it. I could say, like, yes, that happened.
So that's a six plus freak is nine.
Nine. Okay, nice.
Too good at this.
So you can mark a condition, or it can be unstable or temporary. Needless to say, temporary is not going to happen. It will be unstable.
I'm going to mark afraid.
Okay.
Because... So I'm going to mark afraid because there's this moment where Puck throws her and he just like stops dead and goes, oh, I'm not positive that I conveyed to her what we were doing here. And I really hope that she can land. I hope I didn't just do something terrible. This could go very badly. And he's going to just start sprinting towards the car as fast as he possibly can because, that wasn't the best throw. And, we did not stop and talk about that. He's supposed to be better about this.
Amazing. And so we get a panel that shows her just flying past Kickbait. And he turns and went, whoa, that'll really get their attention. And gives you a big thumbs up and then continues running. Arcana, what does it look like as you land?
Well.
And you can land as gracefully as you would like to, because that is now a 10 plus because he took the condition.
He threw me at the speeding vehicle.
At the speeding vehicle, yeah.
Okay.
So, with a little bit of an arc so that you could land on the roof.
Yeah, you can land on the roof, on the back, on the front.
Okay. So it's a Ford Econoline van.
Okay.
I land on the top and then I swing my way down because it's a windowless back.
Nice.
Van. And I'm just kind of standing on the rear bumper right now. Hanging off the back, just trying not to be seen by the rearview mirrors.
Yeah, great. And I think at this point, they definitely haven't. But they are speeding up hard. Now it is, like, we get a couple of panels of it just, like, going down the street and just taking corners really tightly, smashing over a couple mailboxes, nearly getting into accidents. Two cars crash right behind it. People are jumping out of the way. Then we get a panel of Kickbait and Puck presumably chasing after it. Kickbait is starting to flag a little bit.
Yeah.
He can't keep this up super long.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing?
Please don't throw him at me.
So Puck is caught back up to Kickbait as mm-hmm. we're running toward the thing. And he's going to turn to Kickbait and be like, so I just threw my team member up there.
It was awesome.
So I got to go help her. I will meet you there, and he's going to do the same thing where he, like, rubs his hands together and creates a little fairy, and he's going to toss one to Kickbait, and he'll be like, he's just going to be like, hang on to that, it'll point the way in case you get lost, it'll always point to me.
English professors would hate this.
And, you're doing a good job, get better running shoes. and Puck is just going to run faster and try to catch up with the car.
Go ahead and roll to comfort or support.
Okay. 8 -1 -2.
Ooh, okay, so a 5.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, so he gives a big thumbs up and says, got it. I'll take very good care of it. I'll definitely keep it. and the little crystal fairy giving a thumbs up as well, and then Puck zooming off. And the next panel shows, it's kind of got like one of those overhead views that we really like to show sort of what's going on in the city. And Arcana on the back of the car just being like flicked around like crazy, and Puck just right after her. He's definitely going to be able to catch up. And Kickbait running, and a white van with one of those big satellite things on the back of it coming up and moving sort of behind and coming up next to Kickbait as he runs. Arcana, you're on the back of a speeding van.
Yes, I am.
They don't know you're there yet. And so we actually do get a shot inside of the car of the two of them, and he's driving with one hand and holding her hand in the other one, and she's just kind of like stroking a hand on his face, and they're just like having a little bit of, they're activating their drama move of celebrating after a victory. And so they're kicking it probably 45 miles per hour or so, which wouldn't be terrible to hold on to, except that they're also flicking back and forth and just like moving all over the street. They're really taking advantage of the ice, if you will.
Yeah, dodging traffic too, I'm sure.
Yeah. This wasn't meant to be an ice skating episode.
Oh,
but
how?
I've been watching ice skating nonstop for the last week. It's just all in my mind now.
They seem pretty pretty into each other, and maybe not paying the most attention.
No, definitely not.
I'm going to try and sneak into the back of the van.
Okay. Yes, I would be so proud.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I pick the lock.
Okay.
And I sneak my way into the back van and position myself behind some bags of stuff.
Okay. Sounds good. There's like a quick little panel that shows you having to like pull to the side and move out, but they're definitively not paying attention.
Can I assess the situation?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Go ahead and roll plus superior. That's a 7 so far.
And
plus superior. And minus if you have the wrong condition marked.
I have, yeah.
Let's just assume minus 2 to everybody at all rolls right now.
Yeah, so it was plus 1, minus 2.
Oh no, and you're at 7. So now you're at 6.
Yeah.
Remember that you can spend team selfishly by disregarding or making things harder for your teammates in order to gain a plus 1.
Is there any way I could use team to help her?
Maybe. If you can come up with a way that, and you're speeding after, you're making your way up.
Well, you're trying to assess the situation. So, because I do have, then the only reason I'm thinking actually that I could help is I did put a little fairy in the bag of stuff they stole.
True, yeah.
So here's what we'll do. So Puck is trying to catch up, and he sees that Alina is sneaking in, and they probably have the bag of stuff up in the front of the van with them.
Sure.
And so he is going to communicate with the fairy to start making a commotion.
Okay.
And so it's going to be making a, it's going to be like just trying to like, it's like wiggling around in the whatever chalice or whatever it was in, making like clanking clung, things clung, together. Clung. So it's obvious there's something moving around inside this bag now. And so they have, with the idea that he's thinking that they're going to be focusing on whatever this thing is. And like, if the fairy gets evaporated, it's just a psychic construct.
Yeah.
But he'll be distracting it so that whatever, he doesn't know what Alina is doing, but whatever but she's it's doing, it's going to give her some space.
Great. I think we get a couple of panels that show Mrs. Gerda like opening up the bag as she's seeing all of the moving around, and it like leaps out. And there's like she like whips out a fan and starts trying to like smack it and crush it and step on it. But it's just like hopping around inside the cabin for now. Yeah. And so you now have a 7.
Ah, oh, thank Puck. What here can I use to defend myself?
Nice. Ooh, let's come up with something fun. I feel like it has to be something fancy, Spanish item of some kind. I was picturing almost like a big like conquistador weaponry thing could be kind of fun. Maybe there's a big, like, proper shield back there.
Okay.
So that you could just, like, basically be in the back of the van and have most of it covered while still doing some of your telekinetic stuff. Okay. How does that sound?
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, and it's got, like, a big, like, lion's face on it. Like, it's definitely way over the top. And I think that also will give you a plus one if you... Yeah, you get a plus one when you act on the answers.
Okay.
So you'll have a plus one using this shield for now.
Minus three.
There's all sorts of stolen things back there, and you're kind of like looking around, seeing what there is. There's not a lot that looks really practical in this moment. And then your eyes fall on this big conquistador shield, like clearly ancient Spanish in make. And it's got like a big lion's face on it. And that would be perfect to defend yourself with.
Sí, claro.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect. And it's big enough that you could probably cover a lot of the space between you, like your part of the cabin and their part of the cabin, while still being able to do some of your psychic things or do what you're wanting to do.
Okay.
And then we get a panel that shows Mrs. Izquierda catching the construct using like some sorceress powers, and she kind of has it just floating in front of her face. And Mr. Derecho goes, "What is that?" And now we go back to Puck.
So yeah, so there's the panel, and Mr. Derecho says, "What is that?" And then another one falls on the windshield.
Yeah.
And then another one, and another one, and then like a whole bunch of them. And then we cut back to a panel of Puck is like a little bit winded, keeping up behind the van.
Yeah.
And he is just like hurling them like underhanded, like up and over, just generating more and more of these things.
Awesome.
And they are going to start to scuttle down around the sides of the windshield.
Yeah.
To the engine of the car. Like, yeah. And they're going to like the hood is going to pop a little bit and they're going to crawl inside.
Nice.
And I'm going to Puck is going to try to command them to, just like really like gunk up the engine and stop the car from being able to drive.
Awesome. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers.
6 + 3 = 9.
Okay. So you can choose, mark a condition, or I'll tell you how it's unstable or temporary.
I probably cannot mark another condition. Okay. I only have one left.
Okay.
So I shouldn't. So I guess it'll be unstable or temporary.
Great. So they get into the engine and start messing with things and tearing stuff up. And then we get a panel that shows the van kind of moving and careening, and it's losing some control, and it slams into a telephone pole, and a bunch of smoke is coming out of it. The engine is definitely, if it isn't on fire yet, it's about to be. But it is now stopped, and so like Arcana is like hurled around and lands with the shield protecting her, and we have Mr. Derecho and Mrs. Izquierda both are hurled forward for a moment, and the airbags don't go off. It's not that, like, they're able to, this is a comic book. That would be a very dangerous crash.
Yeah.
But they're going to walk away from this one, no problem. So they crash into the thing. We then get a panel that shows Kickbait jumping into the white van, and it is now, like, speeding up to try to catch up with where you now have the situation stopped.
Okay.
But flames are definitely going to be licking up the front of this van very quickly.
So there's a panel from inside the cab of the van as the couple are recovering. And then you can see Puck, like you can see like the antlers and Puck's face outside the window. And he just raps on the windshield or the window and does the like roll it down motion. And Mr. Derecho is like, "What is going on?"
I guess he rolls it down, definitely.
Rolls it down. Yeah. And Puck's just like, "Sir, I think you were speeding."
Awesome.
It was very unsafe.
And so Derecho just raises his hand towards you. And so there's like that ruffle from his sleeve, and he has his hand pointed right at your face. And he goes, "Hope you're as speedy as I am." And he's about to, like, blast you with electricity. What do you do?
I'm going to take another treasure and try to knock his hand up. upwards.
Cool. What are you using to do so?
My telekinesis.
Perfect. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers. And actually, that isn't unleashing your powers. This is a defend.
Yes.
So that's with Savior. Oh my God. I see 1 6. What's the other one?
The other six.
Oh my God. Okay, so 12 plus your Savior, minus if you have the condition marked.
So it's a minus one, so it's an 11.
So it's an 11, so still very nice. Okay, so this is a 10 plus. So you're going to choose, you can add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
You should clear a condition.
Yes.
You should clear a condition. I mean, I guess you could shift.
We don't need more team and...
We need fewer
conditions.
You
already
conditions.
Have influence over me.
I'm gonna clear guilty.
Okay. We get the panel that shows you using your psychic powers, and his hand gets pushed upward, and just like a burst of electricity hurls out of his hand and fires off into the air, and it definitely goes right between the antlers of Puck's mask. Barely missing him.
So here's what Buck's gonna do. He sees Mr. Derecho lift his hand up and point it right at Puck's face, or his face, and then it like he sees because he doesn't see Arcana in the back of the van, so he just sees his hand like jerk up and then shoot lightning off up above his head.
Yeah,
and so Puck just kind of looks up a little bit and then looks back down and looks at his hand and puts his hand right on Mr. Derecho's face. And he's like, no. Like this, and I'm going to try to pierce his mask and use my sort of mental abilities.
Nice,
to like sort of jive with his memory a little bit.
That's awesome. Go ahead and roll plus mundane. Oh my God.
All right.
So that's
another 12 plus...
Mundane.
Plus mundane, which is negative one, and I'm piercing the mask, which is angry, so it's a negative... 3.
So you are at a 9.
So I'm at a 9. Oh no.
with a minus 3, you're at a 9. Yes. Nice rolling.
Yeah, I've been doing pretty good today. So I get to ask him one of these questions. I get to ask you one of these questions.
Yes.
I want to know how I can get your character to give up the life of crime.
That's a really difficult question.
It starts with early intervention.
I think that Mr. Derecho and Miss Izquierda really feed off of each other, and they want to be just hopelessly rich. And they've been caught enough times by the heroes, stopping them from being hopelessly rich. Honestly, if they manage to make a real big score, they might be done.
Okay.
They just want to live in the lap of luxury together and just kind of have that wildly elaborate lifestyle.
Okay.
Which I know is difficult. Like, that isn't super helpful.
No, it's not bad. That's helpful.
But, like, honestly, they're not interested in hurting people. They're not interested in destroying stuff. They're interested in just being so rich.
That's good to know.
Does that help?
Yeah. That's what Puck wanted to know.
Okay, cool. And so, yeah, we get that in kind of a, like, your hand getting around his face, and then... just like this image of him like walking down a promenade and seeing Mrs. Izquierda up ahead and them just like walking through this enormous all marble, beautiful gold and silver and diamonds everywhere and just like falling into each other's arms and then it tastefully has a black panel. And when it like comes back to... his eyes are super wide as he's looking at you, like through your fingers. And then the next panel shows this white van pull up next to the other side of the car. And Mrs. Izquierda is trying to get out of the car. And then Kickbait just jumps out of the van and kicks the door, jamming it shut. And he turns around and he goes, "Thanks for the ride, Mr. Chance." And leaning out the window is Jack Chance with just the smarmiest radio personality grin on his face. And he says, like I'm just going to step aside and let these terrible villains get away from it? I like to think of myself as a better hero than that. Oh, how you doing, Puck?
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Arcana is played by Jess Benini, who can be found on Twitter at HerlockHolmes1. Puck is played by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at AndTheMeltdowns. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.